everybody, and welcome back to Don't Quit Your Day Job. My name is Paul. I am your host, as always. Today is a special treat. We do not have a musician, although he might be a musician. I don't know. We'll talk about that. His name is John Ryan, and he is a writer, director, producer, triple threat, as they say in the business. Is that right, John?
Yeah, I can say that. I think, but the thing is, producing is just because you have to do it.
Okay. Actually, that's a really good question. So let's talk about what these titles mean. Everyone knows what the writer is, even though, like, on a big giant movie, there's a million writers and there's a bunch of uncredited writers and all of that sort of stuff. But most people understand the director as, okay, here's the guy with the vision and he's going to get it on film, even if he's not actually running the camera himself, but it's his vision. And the producer is just the guy that gives the money, right? Is that more or less it?
That's more the executive.
Okay.
So that's why people say things like, you know, the executive at Netflix or whatever. It's because those are the people that are choosing to give the money. The producer is the one that goes and finds it. The producer's job can be many things per project. Mm-hmm. However, it's pretty common for the producer to be the one that helps find the money. So if that means doing an Indiegogo, or it means going to pitching it to studios, it can be like that spectrum of tasks. Right. And then it's basically facilitating everything. When you show up on set and there is a, you know, everything is set up correctly. That was a big job of the, it was a big meeting between the first AD, the production manager, and the producer, assistant producer, you know, the line producer. Like, it's basically somebody to get things done. And where I come in as a producer is I'm mostly using a lot of my personal connections, and that's what every producer does. They use their personal connections, mm-hmm. but mine, where I come in for my projects is casting. So okay. I'll reach out to these people and I'll pitch them correctly so that I can cast my projects. And they say yes, because that's a skill in its own. And it's something that I really enjoy doing over, like, you know, equipment. I don't really care about lights. Someone else can care about that.
And you're New York based, right? Is that right?
Well, I'm originally from Los Angeles. Okay. I live there my whole life, and then I moved 2019, and so I've been here since, in New York City, yeah.
So this is something that I often ask musicians, why not go to LA, or in your case, why leave LA if that's sort of like the epicenter of where everything happens? Arguably, there's more opportunity there, so why leave sort of the place where everything happens to go to someplace different or someplace smaller? New York isn't necessarily smaller, but you get my point.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a reason why many people, once they become really successful, go to Tennessee and live on a farm. Mm-hmm. It's because it's whatever excites you. So for me to actually do stuff that I feel is of sustenance, I just like being where I'm most inspired. To me is the most exciting about my surroundings. And although LA was that, it was kind of my default because that's where I grew up. And it was really great, but I came up in like the party scene, like the indie sleaze, you know, era. And I could see myself getting lost in the sauce, and I needed to make a decision for myself. Turns out visiting New York and thinking about moving here just excited me so much more to be here. Just visually, just the people were more interesting to me. There seemed to be less people that had like a pride about talking to you if you weren't somebody. And I know that's like a cliche, but really for me, I feel like a lot of whatever you want to call is happening with me right now, whether you want to call it success or momentum, is I only say that because that's the name of your show. I would never tell someone I am successful. I would say. I've lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
You were talking about the excitement of New York and why that's important for you.
Yeah. I mean, just coming here, it kind of opened me up in a way that I guess I had seen the same type of visuals my whole life. And I was very, any ideas sort of started to revolve around, you know, the visuals that I was limited right. to, which was only LA. And don't get me wrong, LA is a really magical place, but I was just, I'd been there, I think just too long. And so moving here just kind of opened me up and all these stories started to sort of flow out of me being in different environments really made me find homes for, you know, because sometimes when you have ideas, you don't know where to put it and you mm-hmm. might not have the right visual vehicle or whatever. And then you travel or something and then you come across like, oh my God, my story would work here for sure. So that's what happened with me. You know, moving here, a lot of my stories made more sense to be here.
What's the long-term objective? Again, when I talk to musicians, you know, the analog is not so much anymore, but certainly back in the day, I want to sign to Elektra and I want to get a Lamborghini and I want to die in a jacuzzi with a bunch of hookers, right? So that's sort of the musician's dream. Is there a similar dream for filmmakers? I want to...
That wasn't Matthew Perry's dream.
Actually, I'm sorry I said that now. Poor Matthew Perry. That's shitty of me. Is the objective for you to make a Marvel movie or to make some big budget movie where your name is on the marquee?
I think that when I was really young, I saw a few movies that just changed me, that informed what I was already feeling. There's footage of me as like a 3-year-old boy, 4-year-old boy, and I could just see that I was just more so observing things and not knowing how to feeling a certain way and understanding that I'm reacting physically different to this than other people. And I remember feeling that as a kid a lot, just kind of observing and being quiet. And I think these movies that I saw when I was younger, it gave me a way to articulate those feelings in an art form. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a form of self-expression that I discovered in that moment. And it was also like in that way, it's a form of freedom. And I think telling these stories is a form of freedom. So I don't have to be interesting in a room, I suppose, or be, you know, right. be valuable in a room, but be valuable by my projects and things that I've done that you might like. So my goal is to make people feel that same way. That maybe if I share my perspective on things, there'd be some people that can benefit from that and, mm-hmm. and articulate their confusing feelings. And I think that really, I mean, have you never seen a movie where you're like, oh my fucking God, like I've had this idea before, or I've had this feeling before that maybe this thing would work, but I didn't know how to, you know, think further than that. And then you see a movie that just does it so mm-hmm. perfectly, you know, like these ideas are really, really valuable in life, I think. So yeah, the goal for me is to make those. Yeah, sure. I would, you know what? No, I don't want a Lamborghini. I think Lamborghinis look fucking stupid, honestly. Can I cuss? I'm going to cuss.
You can. Go for it.
And I think like, if you want to talk about success, I mean, the thing for me, success is making more money than my parents mm-hmm. and buying them a house. No, not necessarily making them more money, but buying them a house, right. giving them what they can't do. I think that's a way to get one over on your parents and then feel like you're your own person. And so to me, it's always been this, you know, if I can buy my parents that dream house, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Sure. However, my goal is to really just have like a very happy family with a big backyard. And if it's in Brooklyn, then I want like an awesome rooftop so I can see the city. And truly, I think the entire goal of like life really is just, you just want to be, I honestly, I just want to surround myself with amazing friends that I can laugh with and a wife that I can do that with. Somebody said before, like, all life should be is laughing and coming. And I feel that I completely agree with that. That's all I really want to do. However, I have this itch to make movies, and I really can't stop. It's really fun to do, and it brings me a lot of joy. And if I can laugh through making movies, right, like that, there's half of it, you know?
What if we step back to the idea of expression and the transfer of feeling, right? So you create something with an objective, in very similar to music, right? You want people to experience sort of what you're trying to get across. And that expression part of it is important, but the difficulty with music, with making movies, with doing any of this stuff is getting it in front of people that it might make a difference for, right? And that's what money might get you. So if you have a vision and you don't have to worry about money, you can potentially get it in front of more people, or you have the resources to get it in front of more people. You can hire people to do whatever. Whereas when you're an indie guy like you or me, it's harder, right? So how do you get your work? How do you get your expression in front of people?
Well, I mean, that's like a big hurdle for a lot of people. So there's so many ways to do it. And I think that's what's stifling about a lot of creatives that just don't know how to get it out there, don't want to get it out there in that one way. What I really like happening right now is what comedians are doing, which is get a little bit of a following on Instagram and then just fund your own special. So save up. And then by the time your hour set's ready, they'll go record it and then they'll put it out themselves on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And the business model to that is essentially getting a bunch of eyes, which is just new fans. So if you can get a new, you know, million fans or 500,000 fans, you're now going from selling, you know, 300 seat clubs, selling that out, to selling out a 2,000 person theater. And so I'm sort of stealing from that model, which is with my latest film, Gut Punch, that's out on YouTube right now. What I did was I decided, you know what, the festivals are really great to do. However, because the thing is, you can't do festivals if you have your film online. You can do a good amount of them. However, a lot of ones that you might want won't take it. Anyway, so I took the same model. I just made the film and I did my own premiere. I rented out a theater in Manhattan, and I just put it on YouTube, and a lot of great things have been coming from it. I think collectively it's at about 300,000 views now. So, and it just, YouTube is, honestly, internet and life has kind of helped me so much that it's really great to go the traditional route. However, when you're talking about, you know, agents and managers and producers, like, people really only want to see a good thing. They almost don't really care how they see it, mm-hmm. or if it was at a festival or whatever. Now, festivals do give you visibility, but if you can figure out, you know, how to get in front of them, whether it's through a friend or a cold email or getting into a festival, there's many ways to do it. And I try to kind of just put my finger in the air and figure out what the climate is for when my project is releasing. I don't have like a prescriptive mm-hmm. way that I like to do everything. However, I do festivals for every film. So Gut Punch even is playing at some film festivals, and it's only because they don't care about the premiere status. And so many filmmakers are afraid to put their stuff online because nothing's going to come from it. But, you know, I don't know if I could say that I'm proof that it works, because every project's different. But if your project's good enough or interesting enough or marketable enough at the time when you release it, then it does not matter how those people come across, as long as they do.
So Gut Punch, as you just mentioned, and I will drop the links into the podcast description so people can check it out. But Best Comedy Short, Austin Comedy Film Festival, Indie. So it's won a bunch of awards. And I have to say, one of my favorite lines in the whole movie is when the guy says, I went to a credible website, credible website.com, right? I mean, that's such, it's such of the moment, and it's so on the nose, and it's so funny. So when you're developing an idea, are those things just coming at you from the ether and you just have to grab them out of the air? Or so really what I'm asking is, how are you developing a project like Gut Punch, which has a bunch of really, really funny bits in it, like Your Biotics, Your Choice. Again, another great line, which I think is really, really funny. But where does it come from, John?
Okay, I'm just so that film is really big on semantics, and I think once you sort of tap into the mechanics of your project, it's really easy to just say what you're saying, and not just the mechanics, but the theme. And my theme was like, hey, didn't we all look stupid when we were all arguing about misinformation for 2 years? Like, that's kind of what I was saying with the whole thing.
Yeah,
and the idea is to like laugh at it. It's if it's something trivial like probiotics. Anyway, so once I discovered that, it was really easy. No, I want to say it was easy. It was that lines like that kind of flowed, and it's only because my brain works like this so much. I don't know where it comes from. Maybe my dad. I mean, my dad showed me stand up at a very young age, and it just kind of informed a lot of what I was into. And so lines like that kind of get serviced by what you've already set up in terms of theme and mechanics. But oh my God, I keep losing my mind here. It's too early for me. Oh, that film started as a TikTok. I used to make TikTok sketches, and I was really into it. I would make like 2-3 a week, and then I would like post them once a week, like to just let it last longer. Yeah. And it was really great. And so that actual film was originally a TikTok. Almost, there's a lot of word for word in there, and I changed the whole story. It feels like a whole film now, but I was really into the mechanics and the puns of everything and the wordplay. I mean, it's like my favorite thing. I remember like my biggest word that I learned when I was a kid was semantics. And I was like, this is amazing, because my parents had to tell me, you're using semantics to argue with me right now. And I was like, yeah, it's great, isn't it? And they hated it, because I was just being an argumentative little asshole. But to me, I was discovering semantics and being really excited about wordplay. So anyway, I'll give you an example. So it's, okay. I was telling my girlfriend the other day, hey, it's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in a Half Shell, Turtle Power. That's the song. But why is it a half shell? Like, they have a shell in the front too. Like, it is a half shell, but like, if it's made to be like a shell, a half shell, then you don't call it a half shell. It's a full shell. That is what it is. Like, you wouldn't call a pyramid a half pyramid because it's not a diamond. So this is just kind of the things that I always notice in life. By the way, she was like, I don't know, Google it, go fuck yourself. But no, the thing is, like, if you go to any comedy club, if you're friends with comics in some way, that is an hour long conversation with comedians. I mean, this is just how the thinking goes. I had another one I'll share, which is like, I had the theory that there's really only 10 foods and we just call them different things. So there's like pasta, but that's like ramen. That's lasagna. That's everything. That's just served different.
Okay.
There's burgers, which is a sandwich, which is a hot dog, which is everything. And then you got like, you can't count a la carte. Anyway, so I brought this up to some friends before, and we sat there talking about it for like half an hour. These are things that are like really funny to me. And this is like what I talk about when I'm saying, like, I want to sit around laughing about dumb shit.
Yeah.
What, you know, in twilight years.
Yeah.
And this stuff sort of lights me up. I have no idea why. It just is something I really dig.
Is it, Do you find that people respond to that? So a movie like Gut Punch, clearly people responded to it, but it's a particular thing. It's not, in some ways it's broad with, you know, some of the language, but really it's not. It's more clever than that. And sometimes, or not sometimes, do you feel like you can miss people who you actually want to target with that, where they don't actually understand what all the language is? Because you could look at a movie like Gut Punch and say, well, everybody's really stupid and everybody I'm looking at is really dumb. So I don't want to listen to dumb people.
Yeah. Well, I love dumb people. I think that they make life interesting. And I guess the thing is what you kind of set up and what I hope I have done is some redeeming qualities within all of these mm-hmm. people. And that's sort of how you set up a character to get you to come along with them. I mean, the guy in Fargo, the main character in Fargo, Bill Macy, he's kind of dumb. He's reckless. And, but you go along with him because he's charming. And what he really wants is independence. And so, you know, he goes about it a very dumb way, but you follow him and you like the story. Mm-hmm. And to the people that really don't get that, I can't care about that.
Right.
Because if I care about that, I'm going to start making jokes that are not me, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like what I told you, my girlfriend was like, I don't know, go Google it. Like, that's that audience, you know?
Right.
And I guess I'm not making stuff for those people. I'm making stuff for people who enjoy the silliness of semantics and the American language.
Let's talk about the superpower short that you also have on your website, because it is very, very, very funny. And again, it's way more clever than I was expecting. And everybody in that, including, that's you in that, right? Am I right? Yeah. So, everybody's so likable and it's so positive and cheery. Again, the energy of what you're communicating there. And I don't want to give the joke away because the joke is too good. But it's such an uplift when you watch something like that. Again, is that the intent or is it just a joke?
Well, just so that your listeners know, the premise of it at least is that I'm confessing to my friend that I have a superpower. And when he asks what it is, I tell him that when I look at a guy, I can tell if his mom is hot.
Right.
And then they sort of follow it. They agree that it's a superpower when it's not a fucking superpower. It's just someone like looking at people and thinking things.
Your eyes were lighting up though. So that's clearly a superpower.
Yeah, that's just me as a filmmaker making into a superpower. But yeah, that's the Marvel movie that I would want to direct. Yeah,
exactly.
It's the superpower that can, you know, he goes to defeat the enemy and he just keeps calling the enemy's mom's hot. And he feels real bad about himself, so he stops doing the bad thing. Your question was, where did that come from?
My question was really like, is the intent with what you're doing to give an uplift, right? It just has such a positive energy when you watch even Gut Punch or the superpower short. There's something good about what you're broadcasting. And is that the intent?
Well, I think I like the idea that like things like being hot or things like, you know, power, like with Gut Punch, like things that you no one is really going to know what the fuck happened those couple of years. No one really is going to know. And this maybe like four people know, but realistically, I like the things that we're never going to answer, because in the end of it, like it doesn't matter. I keep going back to it, but what really matters is like, what's around you, mm-hmm. your family, your friends. So I feel like I'm hoping to give that feeling that's like, oh yeah, you know, I had a great time seeing this. Like I do feel pretty good. And maybe, you know, you can leave with some message or you can leave thinking something different. Do I go for making people feel good? You know, it's funny because like in with certain projects, I made a short film called Full Time that I was writing to like kind of depress people, because I wanted people to feel depressed. That it's just so depressing to go to a day job and like I'm wrong about that. It's so depressing to go to a day job that you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. I happen to love a lot of my jobs that I've had, but that I wanted to bum people out with that. So what ends up happening is that I'm a sweet guy, especially when I make these films. So it just comes across that. It comes across in the casting, it comes across in the way it's shot, it comes across in the music that I have made for it, and it comes across in the editing. You know, these things really serve it to feel sweet. Mm-hmm. And if I shot it a different way, you would feel just sad. But yeah, I mean, doing stuff to make people feel good, I mean, what's better than that, you know?
Right, right. And so you mentioned Full Time. This is something that you're working on now that's coming out next year, right?
So it's been done for about since January this year.
Okay.
But it's been in film festivals, and it's been maybe at like 16 film festivals now, 17, which is a lot. It's a lot to deal with, going to a bunch of festivals and traveling and stuff. But I mean, I don't know, but the tentative plan is for it to come out January 16th on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I'm figuring out if I can make that happen, but, that film is the one that moves people more than Gut Punch.
Okay.
Gut Punch is like, I wanted to make like a summer comedy. And so that was like my version of it. And Full Time is more of a, oh shit, I got to rethink my life for a second. Mm-hmm. That's the one I still get emails about. Like when people see it at film festivals, I'll get emails months down the line that are just like, hey, I'm still thinking about your film, and you know, thanks for making it. It feels, you know, like a thought experiment, and it, yeah. So that one I feel like did what I was talking about before, where help people think about how they feel about a certain thing. So I feel like I did that with that film, and with Gut Punch, I think it's a different vehicle to feel the same thing, mm-hmm. To change your mind about something or to see something in a different light. I mean, with Gut Punch, really, there was so much misinformation going on around that really all I wanted to do was say, hey, wasn't that fucking stupid that we were all arguing for a while and that we don't talk anymore? And I miss you. Like, I really miss people that like we went different ways during that time. And can we now laugh about it? Because it's still happening, but it can happen with everything.
Right.
This is just a bigger scale to smaller scale with kombucha.
Right.
So yeah, with that, I mean, I hope people think of that. Think of when they start arguing with someone and they weren't fucking there for the experiment to happen, then you really shouldn't say shit.
Right.
You should just kind of do what makes you feel good. That's what the whole film is about. It's just, you just want to do things that make you feel good.
Did you buy the credible website.com URL? Did you buy that domain?
Wow, that would have been great. No, I did not. By the way, that line, credible website.com, was an improv from Greer Barnes in rehearsal. Shout out Greer Barnes. He is the fucking man. He's so funny, so delightful to work with. Just such a good dude. And he really just is, he's an incredible comedian that just can do shit on the spot. So yeah, shout out to him.
The delivery of that whole sequence is just so, so perfect. Okay, one more thing before I let you go here, John. So I'm half Japanese, you're half Japanese, half Mexican, as I understand it. Sugimoto is your last name, but you go by John Ryan. Is there a reason why you don't have a more ethnic sounding name as like your full tag? I know in your films you actually put your full name, but on YouTube you don't. So what's the thought process there?
Oh, I just need to update the YouTube. Okay. My YouTube channel, my actual URL is John Ryan Sugimoto.
Okay.
But I think what you're talking about is probably the logo.
Yep.
That says John Ryan. I just need to get that redesigned. That's really what that is. I made that when my, because my website, oh, you're talking about the website is johnryan.tv.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I just wanted a snap to it. And like, to me, it's like, it's my first name. So if my name was like Dan Gutierrez, like that's a cool name and maybe you can use the whole thing. But I hate having to spell my name for people. I hate having to spell it over the phone. S as in Sam, U, M as in Mary, O, T, O. Like, I hate having to do that. And, oh, I just spelled it wrong, actually. S as in Sam.
You forgot U, the G.
G, yeah. Jesus. Anyway, so I really hate having to spell my name for people. So it's really, it's no... you know, shame in being Asian. Mm-hmm. I it's on my fucking face, you know,
right.
I can't help but be it. So, and you know, I lean into it too, in a lot of ways too. There's like, I love being an Asian filmmaker that actually has a lot of American things to say that can service like the normalization of just hiring people, not based off of their race, but just hiring people cause they're good
mm-hmm.
and having them be like just another one, like that you don't have to address their race really. I'm not an immigrant. I grew up in California.
Right.
And that's what I really like doing is I'd rather be treated like I'm an American citizen than Asian, you know?
Right. Right.
So, no, but I hate spelling my name for people on the phone. And it's even worse when you're in person and you're like at a bar and you have to just spell your name. S is in Sam, F? No, S. S, like Sam, U, G, I, M is in Mary, M or N? Okay, M, O, T, O, O, D, O? No, O, T, O. Okay, so let me spell it back. Like, fuck that. I want to get that out of my life for fucking ever.
Yeah.
So I will credit myself always as John Ryan Sugimoto, but where I have to share like my YouTube, or my Instagram or my YouTube channel or website, whatever, I don't want to talk to you that much. I just want you to hear me and do it.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. That makes perfect sense. okay. I want to thank John Ryan Sugimoto for being on the show. Everyone should check out Gut Punch and especially the Superpower Short. These are all on his YouTube channel. I will drop all the links as I always do so people can check stuff out. John, thanks for coming on the show. It's been fun to talk to you and get some insight into, you know, when I'm holding my iPhone up, how close I am to being an actual filmmaker.
Hey, some good films have been made on iPhones.
Yeah. Right on. All right. Thanks, man. Be well.
Thanks for talking.